Eye on Careers.
In association with LeMoon.com. Jobs, courses, and all things career.
This is Eye on Careers, the career clinic, charting your next move.
This is Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips. And for everybody out there who's thinking of starting their own company, of getting into the dot-com race, of catapulting themselves into cyberspace, you're going to love this next interview. We've got a real dot-commer in the studio. A man who's chasing his dream. And hopefully we can inspire you to chase yours. And if not, at least you got to listen to a little AC/DC. But in all seriousness, we have Devesh Mistry, co-founder of Red Blue Blur Ideas, with us. Let's hear a little bit about his background.
This is Eye on Careers, Executive CV.
Devesh Mistry is one of the co-founders of Red Blue Blur Ideas Agency, a specialized region's first user experience, user interface, and digital performance marketing agency, operating in Dubai since 2011. Devesh started his career in the world of code and began developing for the internet in the late 90s. He soon realized that it was equally important to him how the world saw his code. This drove him to seek and find a balance between development and design, which eventually inspired him to establish his own business with a purpose. During his career, Devesh has worked with significant global and local brands such as Microsoft, IBM, Mini Cooper, MasterCard, L'Oreal, Yamaha, Emirates, MBD, and the likes. Academically, Devesh has a bachelor's degree in pure science, physics. He is a Microsoft Certified Professional and a certified member of User Experience Professionals Association. When he's not working, Devesh is constantly reading and catching up.
Hello, so this is, we had a little bit of frantic from Metallica here as we invite Dev Mistry on to Eye on Careers. Dev, welcome to Eye on Careers.
Thanks, Shane. I appreciate it.
So you're this is your favorite song, is it?
I think we can just keep playing that for the next 40 minutes, yeah?
Get pumped up, man. This is how you start a .com.
Oh, totally. I think it's strange. It's actually quite a subtle blend between this and the theme music from the Superman 1978 movie.
The theme song? Is that what you do? So you play. So which one do you play in the shower? The super song, the Superman, or the Metallica?
I don't think I'm going to get into those details right now. Probably neither right now.
What Dev does in the shower is not to be discussed in this interview. But it is.
Oh, wow.
You're the first person who requested Metallica. You dot-commers are different, they say. But you don't have a hoodie on. What's up with that?
No, I don't know. I thought I could have dressed up. I mean, I just got to wear a shirt. So I think that was the whole point.
It has a collar on it, though. Isn't that like, are you like an outcast in the dot-com world? Who is this guy? Where's your hoodie? Like, shut up and put the Metallica on.
I do have a tattoo.
I'm not going to ask where that is. That, was, that will remain off. But so at you basically are you jumped into the .com space. What was really your path? Did you as a were you always an entrepreneur or growing up? What was it like? Were you like Steve Jobs away in the garage?
Well, no. I mean, I think if I have to sum it up in a word, it's probably it's probably two words, which is kind of the same thing in a way. It's inquisitiveness and curiosity. No, I've never really been an entrepreneur per se, but it's been quite a flow of a journey for me, and I think we'll get into that as we speak on. But
it's funny though, when you mentioned that, I work when I'm not messing around like this. I actually do have a job, and I work as an executive search consultant.
Right.
So that's the number one thing I look for. I say, is this person intellectually curious about your profession? And I think that just alone separates the top performers from those who wallow in a sea of mediocrity.
Absolutely. I see what you mean. Yeah.
So from a young age, you were always kind of like reading up on stuff and...
Well, I think, specifically speaking, I think, if my domain is pretty much digital. I've always been kind of piqued about everything that's related to digital. It's interesting, to start off and I go way back, I probably wanted to be an astrophysicist.
Oh, okay. I did, when I was like 12, I remember going to the library and saying, I want the astrophysics books. And then they gave me like Dr. Seuss. And so it was the librarian. Wow. They just totally raked me over the coals,
As far as not Freud.
So what does an astrophysicist actually do? Send people to Mars or?
Well, to be honest, I don't care anymore. I don't think about that anymore. It's so way far in the past.
It's gone. So what did you go in? So in high school, you were taking all the science electives.
That's right. I mean, as you can see, I majored in physics. And it was strange. I was convinced in my life. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to figure out the secrets of the universe. And that was my goal, and I knew that was my purpose in life, and I believed it so strongly. And it was strange, because obviously this is like a research arena, and my parents back then were like, are you serious? You're going to get into research, and what are you going to do for a living? Research. and then I kind of became a bit of a rebel at that time, and, I've got to retort back to my parents and say, I'm not going to get into research. Okay, fine. So what am I going to do? Join a rock band. I did that. I did that for about a good year or so. Yeah, there you go. See, that's
rock
where it comes
out. So you were rock. What instrument did you play?
Oh, it was rhythms, but it was pretty much in the likes of we played stuff from GNR, all the glam rock. Right.
So you rocked out, and so you made it through. Did you a degree in physics, or did you go to university for physics?
No, I did. Yeah, I mean, I graduated with physics, and the next steps were to basically just go into the path of getting into how do I get into doing astrophysics? I wanted, as I said, I wanted to figure out the secrets to these things, and that's when I was like, ideally it was like, no, what are you going to do for a living? So. And I'm like, okay, fine, I'm going to revolt. And the next steps was joining a rock band. And then it was like, okay, fine. And that's when I actually discovered, the internet and the computers and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, okay, fine, I think I'm going to get into artificial intelligence.
The natural thing one does when you look at the internet.
And
put the Metallica down. I will create a new brain
from
these wires.
Her. You watched a recent movie? again, that was slammed down because it was, research. And, since then, it's been pretty much a flow. It hasn't really ever been. It wasn't until literally the last few years, and it wasn't literally until I started RBBI that I thought that I'm ever going to be starting a company, if you know what I mean.
So what year did you start the company?
It was literally 2.5 years ago.
In 2011?
Yeah, 2011. Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it was a tough environment in 2011.
It was. I mean, to be honest, I think, I've just been in Dubai since 2009,
And you were working for a company. What were you doing before? You don't have to name the company, but what were you doing?
Yeah, look, I mean, obviously I was born and raised in India, and I think way early on, I mean, I kind of, you could say, a rebelled stage, and I kind of ran away to Australia for about, an odd of about 10, 11 years.
My God, it's like the Australian show. Paul was here. The Australian. guys coming together, huh?
We're all coming back from the outbacks.
And Chris Fade is Australian as well.
Yeah.
So it's unbelievable. So, so you came here from Australia.
Yeah.
And you were like, the surfing sucks.
Literally, yeah, barring the surfing bit. Just, yeah, with the headphones and the metallic and the hoodie at that time.
So were you a chief technical officer, or what were you doing?
You know what, to be honest, that's probably a name that I've given to myself.
Right.
You know, the perks of, you know, kind of running your own business is pretty much you can title yourself on. But, I mean, to give justice to that domain, I come from a strong technical background. I mean, I started my career pretty much in the development arena. So I've got wonderful opportunities back in Australia to work with the likes of, you know, well, literally defense, Australian defense. And I provide a lot of technical value to them.
So you were doing hardware or software? Or?
Well, no, it was software. It was pretty much web related stuff. Web everything stuff. Was digital. You know, as they say, it's born digital. So I think it was pretty much on the lines where, you know, I kind of provided a lot of technical inputs and how to build stuff. But at the same time, I think I was always constantly aware of how people use those things and how they utilize it and how it really made a difference to the end users. I did not realize that. I did not realize that was the purpose until literally 2.5 years ago. And we'll get to that, but yeah, it's quite an interesting one.
What was that last part? You didn't realize your purpose till 2.5 years ago.
Literally, you can say that. I mean, I did not realize the importance of how, to plainly put it, I think I always used to think about it. I mean, it was quite natural. It came very natural to me, naturally to me that, you know, I used to always wonder about, even though it is so technically, I mean, you've got this typical thing about in the digital arena, that, you know, the developers and, you know, the creators or the artists, the designers would never really talk to each other. And the end product that you see or what you liaise with, even, you know, even just a website or even if it's an app, the way it functions and the way it way you actually feel while you're using it, the feel is actually the, you know, the primitive word there, are two different things. And I did not realize that for a very recent time in my life that I've always subconsciously been concentrating on the importance of the fact that, okay, whatever code I'm writing or whatever I'm doing, whatever I'm developing, also needs to be important in how it's being portrayed, how the end user feels when they actually use whatever it is, whether it's just their company's intranet or, you know, whatever, just, you know, using an app to file up their expenses, day-to-day expenses, if you may.
Surrounded Metallica moment. This is Dev Mistry, co-founder of Red Blue Blur Ideas. Stay with us and we'll be right back to rock out to some Metallica and listen to Dev's insights into how to get a .com moving and where is the whole .com space going. This is Ion Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips. Welcome back to Eye on Careers. We are listening to the story of Dev Mistry, a dot-commer, dot-com entrepreneur who's a rocker, Metallica fan. Dev, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thanks, Shane. This is interesting.
I think I'm just going to have Metallica play for all.
I think that would be it.
This is basically how you start a dot-com. It starts with
much.
Metallica.
It's all that energy. It's all that energy. Yes.
So did you really, when you were, you know, drive to work, is this what you're listening to?
Not all the time, but, you know, every now and again, you need to be a bit disruptive.
It goes between this and the Superman theme song from the 1978 original Superman.
Very much. As you can see, that's what RBBI is. If you paid attention, it's pretty much Red Blue Blur Ideas.
Oh, is it? Red, blue, blur. So you're like a Superman going through the sky and it's just like this blur.
Well, no, it kind of, you know, it's interesting because it all kind of chimes down to a simple thing. It's a core value and the core principle. Why, you know, it's RBBI, why it's red, blue, blur. And it's, you know, in a strange way, a canonical way to term it as the values of Superman.
What are the values of Superman? Stay away from kryptonite, rule number one.
Rule number one, yes. Well, to aid you, use Metallica. No, it's actually very simple. It's just doing the right thing. It's literally just doing the right thing.
It's just doing the right thing.
Simple as that. I mean, you can throw in 10 million values, but it's literally doing the right thing.
And you have to have a superhuman performance. Is that part of it?
All that kind of falls in once you know that you're doing the right thing. I think it's just basic human nature, right? I mean, if you believe in your heart, and I think it goes to the people you get on board when you start a business and everything else across. If you really do, as a normal human being, if you really do believe in your heart that you are doing the right thing, all the superpowers just come along. Oh my God. Thank you, Shane. That just changes everything. Again. In Steve Jobs' way. This is epic.
Red, blue, blur ideas. For the superhuman in you.
Oh, wow.
It's Dev Mystery.
And this is the time he has the heart attack at at the show.
So no, really, brilliant. Did you listen to this before you quit your job? You were like, I am like Superman. I can do it. I don't need this job.
There's no kryptonite around. Let's make a quick buck. No. I think, to be honest, I never did ever see it as starting a company. It literally was. I mean, I think we, you know,
it was just my. This job stinks. I have to get out. I'm just joking.
Well, to subtly put it, I think I had two jobs since I moved to Dubai, and I was kind of sussing the market. It's the first time that I was in Dubai, so I was kind of understanding cultures and how how Dubai operates in a lot of way and how agencies operate, and everything that I learned. And I think it was as simple as the fact that. When I walked away from the job, and it was one key reason, I just kept thinking in my head constantly, and I was having this chat with my wife, I remember, was the whole fact that, it was just situations around, you know? And all I kept thinking in my head was I could see a way to improve how people are functioning or how people are doing that particular thing. And I'm like, you know what, that's about it. What if I give a platform? What if I actually enable people to create a platform to be able to function in a different way or improve people's lives? Simple. It was pretty much that. It never was really, oh, let's start a company or let's start a business and let's achieve this. It wasn't really that. It was really with the fundamental principle of the fact that how do we enhance people's life? And what is this tool skill and the digital, the skill set that I had was digital. And it was like, okay, how can we enhance people's life from a digital outset? Because that's what I do best. And that was the core principle.
And so what does red, blue, blur ideas do?
We enhance people's life from a digital aspect.
just listen to this. And this is what we do.
It really is.
Okay, do it. You could tell us what the company does with the when we'll play the Superman. As the bed. So what is red, blue, blur ideas, Dev Mystery?
Okay, without getting into real technical aspects, okay, I mean, the core fundamental of red, blue, blur ideas was to use the digital space in creating digital values or digital propositions or digital products that really, really, really do simplify the end user's need or, you know, the people who are using the digital products.
So, like, what's an example of one of the?
It's as simple as if you're trying to pay. As of today's age, the day and age we live in, we all kind of getting accustomed very well to internet banking, right? And how many times have we? I mean, this is across the world. It's across the planet. How many times have you signed up at the bank and we go onto the internet banking and it takes us forever to do that? And you kind of toy with the idea, saying, was it worse to use the internet banking or was it worse to go to a bank and, you know, deal with that? But it's as simple as that. These are the things that are supposed to be kind of, we're getting at an age where these are things that are supposed to be like, you know, pretty much, you know, a second fiddle, if you may. And creating something, I mean, just enhancing that experience for you, you know, creating a seamless digital internet banking experience for you, which would probably take you saying, okay, I've got to pay this bill and I can just go with the flow and I can do exactly what I want to do. I don't have to wonder where this button is, where am I, what am I supposed to click at now and spend the next 20 minutes because, you know what, my kid's crying and I've got to attend to her or him before that. Simple things like that.
So a bank would hire you to streamline their online banking interface?
Absolutely, absolutely. One of the examples, yes. But this could be across. I mean, you're paying your electricity bills, you're paying your traffic fines, etc. Whatever it is. I mean, all of these experiences in today's world that we live in, all of these can be achieved as literally a subconscious experience in online. I mean, you don't really have to spend so much time in standing on all those queues and paying all those bills and getting all that sorted. But you can do that online. But what if the online experience is as bad as it could be, you know, physically? The idea here is to make that simple so that your lives are improved.
So you quit your job and you go to register the company. And what were some of the big stonewalls you faced, or one of the biggest challenges that you faced as you catapulted yourself into cyberspace?
Oh, that's an interesting one, because, you know, you've got all this passion and you've got this motive and you've got all of this, literally motive. I mean, it's this purpose, the strong felt purpose. You've got to just want to do this. And then you start into this legalities of, okay, let's start a company. Let's sort this out. And, you know, how do we run it as an official business, an operating business? It's tough because this, especially when you don't know. And, you know, you've got to start talking to people. You've got to network out, and you've got to start figure out, hey, what's a better way to register a business? How do we run this? How do we fix this?
I know, which free zone do you go on? Exactly. Shore? It's like crazy. And then you know, no one gives you a straight answer.
No
either.
One.
You just got to take a gamble, right?
At some point, it literally
like,
is.
I think I will pick this one.
Yep.
And that's what you do, right?
It literally is. I mean, I'm not kidding. It literally was. There's the same scenario for us. I mean, when I thought of this, I remember catching up with my colleague who I used to work with before, who is now my partner, just a co-founder, Amol, and having a chat with him. And I said, listen, you know, this is it, and this is what we need to do. And how about propositioning this company with this format? And he's like, yeah, brilliant, but how do we do it? And we both kind of hashed it out and saying, okay, fine, let's just try and figure out what kind of free zones are there and what kind of, you know, what's the LLC business and blah, 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 and all those. That took us a good few 6 months, pretty much. I mean, we kind of registered it, but we were still trying to sort out a lot of things.
And you can't get a chance because you ask one person, you're like, no, you cannot register it like this. It has to be like that. And then the next person you talk to be like, no, it's fine. You can register it like this. It's fine. I can do it for you. Pay me 5,000 dirhams and I will have it done for you. And you're like, I'm not sure what to do here. But how did you meet your partner, Amol?
That's also an interesting story. I mean, the second job that I worked in UAE, that's where I met him. Amol was the general manager of Innovations, which is Fortune Premier 7 here. And that's where I started work, and that's where I met him. And it was brilliant because I came from a technical background.
He was a general manager?
He was a general manager.
So you were like, I quit. And then he's like, no, I quit. I quit as well.
Yeah, it was interesting because, I mean, when I got onto the board there, and it was pretty much we connected because I came as a digital strategy manager in that company. And we kind of pretty much were on the same lines. And what was interesting with the connection that we formed was because I came from a very technical background and he came from a very creative background. And we immediately connected with the whole fact that this is like the marriage of art and science. It's literally impossible to achieve. But it worked brilliantly. It was a brilliant flow. And that's when we realized, I mean, and I quit that place. And then I thought, okay, this is what I want to achieve. This is what I want to do. And I kind of went and registered the company in one of the free zones. And then I said, no, I think, you know what, this should work from, you know, I need a co-founder. I need someone along together. And we need to do this together. And, you know, we will empower this better if we have that strength. And that's why I'm going and having a chat with Amol. And he's still there. And I'm like, Amol, let's do this together. This is what I've done. And he's like, okay, fine. If you take this to this next level, let's try and find out what are the free zones we can register this at. Yeah, but it was an interesting journey.
And so you made Amol quit his job.
Well, you can say that. It's a bit naughty that way.
But this is one space that's just lighting up, right? I think, you know, when we look at it from an executive search perspective, and the prediction is, you know, which, you know, when we look at which careers are going to have the highest growth in equity, we're going to have the highest salary growth, the one that is at the top of the list by many, I mean, obviously this is a bit subjective because no one knows exactly what's going to happen in the future, but we predict that mobile app creators are at the top of that heap. And in fact, some of them might even go from unemployed to six-figure income by the end of 2014. because, you know, we don't read as many books anymore. But internet penetration in the Middle East is some of the highest. And
in fact,
YouTube usage per capita in the Middle East is the highest in the world.
That's right. Yes.
And they're not looking at computers anymore. They're looking at it on their mobiles.
That's right.
And we have like 500 mobiles each, I think, you know, like when you see people. My dad came over, was visiting me, and he's like, "How come there's two people at like they're eating dinner and there's six mobiles? You know, there's an iPhone, a BlackBerry, a this and that." And I'm like, "Yes, this is how it is in Dubai, Dad." So you know, is it just growing like it's over heaps and bounds, right? You're just it's explosive growth in this sector in the Middle East.
I think the correct word is or the correct usage is leaps and bounds.
Leaps and bounds. I know. I just got so excited because I was about to play this again. Dev Mistry, co-founder of Red Blue Blur Ideas. He'll be back in a minute with his insights into cyberspace. This is Eye on Careers. We are here with Dev Mistry, co-founder of Red Blue Blur Ideas. I almost messed it up there. Dev, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thanks, Shane.
And you're a diehard Metallica fan.
And Superman.
And Superman.
What a blend. Symphony and rock.
This is like, you know, the growth of digital space, though, it's just exploding across the Middle East. So an exciting space to watch, you know. Yeah. A lot of times people just wish that they could be a .com entrepreneur, you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of you guys, you know, that Issan Jawad, actually, who's the founder of Honeybee, he's the chief executive officer of Honeybee Tech Ventures, mm-hmm. and the founder of LeMoon.com, your career channel, founder of Zalia.com, and a whole bunch of other things. I think You Got a Gift or Round Menu, or I mean, I just can't keep up with all the companies. The man, he's amazing, but he's also a physics major.
Wow. Okay.
A mathematician, right?
Lovely.
And we also had Fadi Malaise, co-founder of Just Falafel.
I listened to that interview. Yes.
Did you?
Yes.
Did you have a falafel after?
Oh.
Which favorite falafel is your favorite?
Oh, it's the Greek one.
The Greek one.
I love that one.
It is good. But he's also a physics guy. So what's up with this? I think we should go study some math and get down to business.
There's definitely some statistical evidence here.
Figuring out what the secret to success is. But nobody comes on the show without being asked what their secret to success actually is. So we have to ask you that.
Eye on Careers now reveals the secrets to success.
So, Dev, what's your secret to success?
You know, in a word, I would say people.
Eye on Careers.
In association with LeMoon.com, jobs, courses, and all things career.
People, you know, but, you know, what do you do to, you know, capture that growth? Because a lot of people say that. They're like, yes, people are our greatest asset. And then, you know, like, you know, it's like the most toxic work environment that you can see. First, we'll put some cubicles in and then get some really greenish-blue fluorescent lights and make it an open concept. In fact, let's put three or four people in a booth together. And remember, they are our greatest asset. And, you know, it's like they treat, you know. But so what do you do differently? Is it like Google? You have like a jungle gym inside the office?
In a strange way, I mean, kind of. I'm not as big as Google, not yet. But yeah, look, we have a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun in the office. But having said that, I think it goes back to the core values of you know, core values of RBBI. In a sense, it's empowering people, right? So if you're not, if the core fundamental principle of the company is to enrich people's lives, you know, it kind of applies the same with the people who are working with RBBI. And and it's pretty much on the same lines where we say we genuinely really do. I mean, I personally genuinely do believe the fact that people, you know, I mean, even if you got people who are sitting and making mistakes at times. I mean, people know that they've made a mistake. So you don't need to really go and criticize. It's all about really empowering them, giving them a chance to do it. If they genuinely feel connected to the business and they're connected to the whole core principles of the value of the business, you know, they're going to do it. They're going to be your greatest assets. It's not really just literally as saying as, hey, people are great assets. What I'm trying to say is the fact that, no, I mean, if they genuinely do believe in the core principles of the value of the company, they will perform. They will do what they have to do best.
Have you, sir, you know, this heard of this B Corporation or the triple bottom line? And I think now in America and in Canada, there's actually a new corporate structure, legal corporate structure, where in the covenants of the corporation, it actually states that the purpose of the organization is, yep, one, to create social impact and good, as well as create value for the stakeholders. And this is like a new movement, which you're, mm-hmm, looking at. And are you a B Corp or are you certified?
Well, neither.
Neither,
but neither. I'll tell you why. And it's very simple. We're quite young. We've literally been about 2.5 years ago. And as I said, we're in a place where we're literally, I mean, everyone here, I mean, we're literally thinking from our hearts. So we're in a place where we're like, okay, fine, that's good as a reference point of what the world's doing. But what really feels right for us when we are actually incorporating and building this organization or building this company? And you never know, maybe we're creating a model in the future. So, no, I mean, for reference, for guidance, it's good. But I think if you are true to your heart and if you truly believe in what you're doing, you know, you'll probably end up shaping a good model for the people who you serve as well as the people who work for you.
Well, it's interesting, you know, it looks like this is one of the ways maybe society is changing in the way that what the millennials are, you know, one of the biggest changes the millennials will have on the corporate world, in my humble opinion, is that now you're seeing, before, used to say, okay, where's the gap in the market? What product can we fill to fix that? But now you have a new generation of entrepreneurs like yourself and others of us who are saying, you know, here's my skills, here's my capabilities. Mm. How can I use these to make the world a better place?
Yep. Absolutely.
And that's different. Like, you don't have that paradigm of thought. And so many times as an executive search consultant, I interview people who have what I call MBA-itis, and they come in and they're like, yes, I have done this. This segment does not use blue widgets, but they use blue widgets in every other geography. Yeah. So if we make a blue widget factory, we can put some blue widgets. And it's like, but you hate blue widgets. You don't like them. You're not passionate about them. And it's like, you know, I say you have a then this sounds really sappy, yeah, but I say you have a financial plan, you have a business plan, but do you have a heart plan? You know, what are you, what do you want to do with your life?
Yeah.
And it sounds like you're 100% heart plan.
Yeah, very much. I mean, look, I think personally, I do strongly believe in the fact that, look, there's a reason why a lot of these things worked. There's a reason why all of these, you know, principles, the values of the constructs, you know, in businesses worked. It's because at that time, that was right. And having said that, you know, I believe that it's good to use them as references, but should not, I mean, as an individual or especially as you know, someone who's starting a business, you shouldn't pretty much kind of follow that path, because there are far much more greater opportunities that you could achieve on creating your own way if you actually do listen to or follow it through your heart, you know. I mean, because if you have a purpose, again, I personally do strongly believe, I mean, you want to create a business, you want to create a company to help and enrich people's life. Because if you want to do it for money, don't do it. Don't bother.
Right, right. And I mean, it's, you know, even if you look back in history, though, I mean, when you look at the making of America, you know, you did have these tyrannical entrepreneurs, mm-hmm, like Rockefeller and Vanderbilt and, you know, Carnegie, who, you know, they would literally steamroll you. But you also had guys like Henry Ford,
yeah,
who said for no reason, you know, like, I'm going to double. He doubled the average wage for a worker at the time was $2, sure, and something. Yeah. And he doubled it to $5.
That's right.
And people were like, you're going to go out of business. And you know what happened is he created the most productive plant in America. And many people say, you know, that it was this innovation that actually led them to win the World War II, because they could make ships, they could do everything faster and quicker than any other nation on Earth.
Yeah.
Now, that's slightly been eroded over time, but that's another story.
Well, it's evolving. It's evolving, right?
Yeah. But, you know, he did not have MBAitis. He followed his heart, right?
Yeah.
And what I'm getting to is I almost feel, and this is just my opinion, and of course, you know, there's no right or wrong answers in business, but almost tactics are overtaking. You know, tactics, I think, are the most important thing.
Yeah, but I mean, I think also what I see, I mean, it's a good example that you give of Henry Ford. I think a lot of people who start up, and they look up at all these idols, if you may, and they go like, you know what, I think it's all about doing something disruptive. Or, for example, you know, I've been following Steve Jobs, and, you know, being a bit more aggressive about the way things you want is probably going to work. And I think you scrap all of that, and you just go like, forget all that. All that will come. You'll be your own personality. If you do truly believe and you truly follow how you want to perceive it, how you want to lead, how you want to basically create, what kind of a business you want to create. So if your focus is right about what you're trying to achieve to the end users or the, you know, or the people you're serving your business to, these personalities will be formed. People see it the other way around. They go like, okay, I've got this as an example. I've got that as an example, and I'm going to follow this path. Again, it's going back to these, you know, settled, ways of the way or how corporations work. But you know, that's one of the things I like to advise to a lot of people, saying no, don't kind of, I mean, it's good to take them as references, but don't follow that fact that saying, okay, maybe to succeed I need to be as aggressive as Steve Jobs was with his staff, as with his employees, or you know, how disruptive Henry Ford was. No, it's all about how do you really feel from your heart, and what do you want to do. And that will come.
And I think I have a quote here, if you can guess who this is, who captures potentially what you're talking about.
When I look around, I always learn something, and that is to be always yourself and to express yourself, to have faith in yourself. Do not go out and look for a successful personality and duplicate him. Now, that seems to me that is the prevalent thing happening in Hong Kong. Like, they always copy mannerism, but they never start from the very root of his being, and that is, how can I be me?
I think that just totally echoed what you were talking about. It was so awesome.
Is that Bruce Lee?
Oh, my God. Yeah, it is. Of course, I was going to have a competition, but you'll do that. It was. It's Bruce Lee. We're just going to explore this a bit further in just a minute, so stay with us.
Welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we are having one amazing episode here of Eye on Careers, a super episode, perhaps. We had the CEO of United Arab Bank on. It was one of the fastest growing banks in the UAE for 2013. We looked at what some of the success factors are there. And we have a dot-com entrepreneur that we're exploring his path. But now it's time for our super guest, Dev Mistry. Welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thanks, Shane. This has been awesome.
It's super. If any of you guys don't recognize, this is the theme song to Superman, the original Superman. You know, it's like the Rocky now. You have like 500 of them, but this was the original one. But, you know, just before we cut to the break, you were saying how important it is, you know, not to try to follow someone else's footsteps or to have some preconceived idea of what success is. You know, you have to be yourself. And to buttress up your point, we had a little Bruce Lee. Here's the quote we played.
When I look around, I always learn something, and that is to be always yourself and to express yourself, to have faith in yourself. Do not go out and look for a successful personality and duplicate him. Now, that seems to me that is the prevalent thing happening in Hong Kong. Like, they always copy mannerisms, but they never start from the very root of his being, and that is, how can I be me?
So success is you know, and to echo, I think he was saying the same thing.
That's brilliant.
You know, you have to find the root of your being,
yeah.
You know, and get to that core and let that come out.
Yeah.
And, you know, is that what you've done?
Yeah, I mean, you know what's funny, Shane, is for the longest time, I used to keep hearing this, and I used to keep reading about this all the time, and people telling me all the time, is, you know, hey, be confident, right, and be yourself. And I used to never relate to that. And I could never understand, well, what does being confident mean? What does just be yourself mean? You know, it's strange, and you know, I think when I'm in a strange way, and I'm actually having this conversation with you right now, is when I do kind of, you know, when you related it back to what Bruce Lee said, and I think kind of relate, and I realize that that's what being yourself means. I mean, it's like distinguishing yourself and not follow paths. Yes, use them as guidance, but create and carve your own path. And you know what? I think this is brilliant because I'm kind of realizing it myself right now that I'm doing that.
No, life is so weird. It's like you get out of it what you put in. Yeah. And so we started this career clinic, the one that we were talking about, Muhammad Harab, yes, coming on Tuesday. We started it to try to inspire other people, yeah, right, and to help people with their own, mm-hmm, careers. And it reversed the whole thing on me because the group inspired me. And, you know, like whenever I'm down or I'm like not sure what to do, I'm like, well, this is what I have. This is my advice, what, yeah, I gave. You now have to follow it, and it works, right? It's amazing. So what is your advice to anybody out there, besides, you know, find your root, be yourself, really get down to your core and let that come out, which is a tough thing to do. What other advice would you have for anybody out there who wants to take the next step in their career, get the next rung in the ladder, wants to summit that mountain peak?
I think it's quite simple, and I think it'll go back... It kind of goes back to what my mom used to say when I grew up. And it's strange, I did not realize that for the longest time. But, you know, every now and again, we all get stuck up in what we need to do. And we're constantly focusing on what I need to achieve next, what I need to accomplish next. And she used to really, really just simplify the whole thing for me in the youngest days of my life. And she used to be like, always remember, it's never about the destination. It's just the journey. Enjoy the journey. And, you know, as simple that sounds, it's very difficult to kind of reflect on it and live it. And it took me a long time to actually start realizing the fact that, no, you know what? If I'm frustrated with something, if I'm having a bad day or whatever it is the journey. It's the I have to rev in it. You know, it's not really about what the end result. Yes, there is an end goal and there's an end result. But I need to focus more about enjoying the day, the moment, the journey to wherever I am, because that's what's important. It's one life. And that's all it is.
and the other thing is the journey's a long one because, you know very few of us do like WhatsApp, who you just start a company, next, yeah, thing you know, you're selling it for $16 billion, which is nice. Hopefully that happens to to RBI.
Oh,
RBI. But, you know, generally it's a long run. You know, you're looking at 10 years, 15 years. You'd be doing your profession, yeah, for a long time. So I like what the CEO of NBC said, Sam Bernardi. He said, you know, success it's not a sprint. It's a marathon.
Yes.
You've got to have the same amount of energy in kilometers, yeah, 32 and kilometer one, you, yeah, know. So, you know, it's really been a pleasure having you on.
Thank you, Shane.
I don't know if there's any last thing you want to say before we close up here. Well, I could go another hour with you know,
yeah,
easily.
We could go with 20 minutes about Metallica, another 10 minutes of Superman, and then we could talk about another 5 minutes, yeah.
It's not fair. I tried to explain this at the station. I was like, you know, you guys, in 2 hours is not enough. You should let me just go for, you know, yeah, and they're like,
we
Shane.
We have a whole day session.
Yeah, they were like, Shane, get out of my office.
No, I mean, I don't know if this is going to be relevant, but I think for me, a tipping point... and I think I really like to share this. A tipping point for me was, you know, pretty much about 6 to 7 years ago. I'm a flatmate back in Sydney who said this to me, and I was making a major change about moving cities. And anyone who knows me personally knows that I hate change. I hate traveling and I hate moving around. I was moving cities, and I remember this whole dilemma that I had. And I think it was interesting because I apply this, and I keep going back to this all the time. Is he said there's something very very profound, which I didn't realize, is it's as simple as that. Like, there's no growth in the comfort zone. There's no comfort in the growth zone. And I keep trying to get back to that.
There's no growth in the comfort zone. There's no comfort in the growth zone.
Yeah. And you kind of take your pick in the days that you want to go in with your journey and apply it as you want it. It's actually quite interesting because you mix and match those two things, and these are the kind of principles that I've been trying to live with right now.
So which do you want us to play last for you, Superman or Metallica?
Oh, let's end it with Metallica, actually.
Metallica.
Yeah. Here we go.
So, Dev, thank you so much for coming. We'll have to have you on again sometime soon.
Absolutely.
It's been a blast.
Thank you, Shane. This has been such a pleasure. You made me realize a lot of things.
Well, I'll send you an invoice tomorrow, but have a great weekend.
Great. Okay.
Okay. See you.
Shane.
Bye for now. That was Dev Mistry. He is the co-founder of a Red Blue Blur Ideas, and he's a B2B company that helps enhance the online experience for various businesses. And, you know, that's it for this episode of Ion Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, wishing you all the best chasing your dreams. Dev did it, so can you. And we'll see you again on the next episode.